Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Our very first guest in the history of Wilde and Tausch, which will be, I'm sure, a long and distinguished history.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
Aaron Rodgers, give us an over-under on what number would you set for how many shows we do.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say they leave 52 weeks in a year. I'm going to say you do about 230.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
And then what happens?
No, then Tausch kind of bows out.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Thursday edition. Jason Wilde's summer sabbatical continues. And a major announcement edition starring one Mark Tauscher this morning on Milwaukee's new old home of the Wisconsin Badgers. 620 WTMJ and 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. I'm Jesse Nelson, normally the producer of this show. Today I slide into the host chair. Third day in a row, we are joined by daytime Ryan Wollersheim as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs we believe in better. From his undisclosed location, appropriately donning his red Wisconsin Badgers baseball cap, he is the color analyst of the Wisconsin Badgers Football Radio Network, Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer, and the keeper of a major announcement made this morning on Wisconsin's Morning News, 620 WTMJ. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning.
Yes.
Big day. How you doing?
It's not only a good morning, it's a great morning. As about an hour ago, we just made the announcement on Wisconsin's Morning News on WTMJ that the Badgers radio for the football team, men's basketball. We already have volleyball. There's going to be a lot of other things. Obviously, women's basketball is going to be on down there. But for me, I'm obviously incredibly excited that the Badger broadcast with Matt LePay and myself and Dave and the whole team will be back on WTMJ this fall, starting right out of the chute up at Lambeau. And I know I'm super excited about it. Obviously, been a part of Good Karma for a long time now and WTMJ for a while, and it's just a perfect fit. We're super excited that people are going to be able to find us. I know the last few years it's been an interesting where are we at? How do you get this? Well, now if you're in the Milwaukee area, and obviously WTMJ has a big old stick that carries a lot throughout the state of Wisconsin. We're back, baby, and we're excited about it. Can't wait to get started in about a month and some change.
I tested it this morning. You can catch 620 WTMJ while you're driving down East Washington Avenue if you're coming in from Sun Prairie toward downtown Madison. So that signal reaches everywhere, and it's going to be great for fans traveling around the state on a Saturday morning or afternoon or evening to be able to find Wisconsin Badgers football not only on 620 WTMJ, but also on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, simulcast of Wisconsin football all season long on both stations. And in addition, you've heard from Tausch already, men's basketball, volleyball continues on 620 WTMJ, select broadcasts on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Regular season women's basketball, women's hockey, and men's hockey airing in Milwaukee on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Select games, including postseason games, will also air on radio stations to be announced later, either 94.5 ESPN or 620 WTMJ. We know, I mean, both hockey teams were in the championships last year. The women won it. The women's basketball team appears to be on the up and up. We heard from Coach Robin Pinchton in an event we were at a month or two ago. That seems like it's got a lot of momentum going forward. And then, of course, we know the excitement, the anticipation, the hype around football with a new athletic director and what's in store this year with that Notre Dame game on Labor Day weekend. weekend, Sunday night, September 6th, when this whole thing gets started at Lambeau Field. And men's basketball continuing to be one of the top contenders in the Big Ten and in the country. You get to hear all of it on 620 WTMJ, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, the WTMJ mobile app, and on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Easy for fans to find it. Excited to be the new home of Wisconsin Badgers athletics in Milwaukee. This is going to be so exciting heading into this season. And it all starts, Tausch, on September 6th, Labor Day weekend, Wisconsin and Notre Dame at Lambeau Field. I heard Vinny and the boys asking you about it this morning. Are you getting excited for that one, the opener?
No, Jesse, I'm not. Of course you're excited. I think, obviously, with this announcement that we're going to be the radio home down in Milwaukee, there's always this, you kind of look back at history, and I didn't realize this until Vince brought it up. It's been 22 years since the Badgers have been on, back down on WTMJ. So that part of it, obviously for me selfishly, I'm super excited. But as just far as this season goes, last year obviously didn't go the way a lot of us hoped it would. And I think what's interesting now is there's more of a measured tone of confidence. This is going to be a huge test, and to be able to do it up at Lambeau against one of the iconic programs in the, you know, whole college football landscape, I'm not going to make any bold predictions yet. It's not that time of the year for me yet, but I just feel like with the way Las Vegas has looked at this game, the fact that Wisconsin has totally retooled itself on offense, I think it's going to be a heck of a lot more intriguing than maybe some national folks do. And I know this, there's going to be a nice buzz, and I think with Sean Eichhorst coming in, and you can see how he's approached things, there just kind of seems like there's a renewed enthusiasm about Wisconsin athletics, and obviously the football team is going to be leading the charge in that, and hopefully we get this era reset and kind of some new results that come along with it, and it'll all be happening on WTMJ in Milwaukee.
That's the big announcement today from our friends, of course, at 620 WTMJ and on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. The ESPN Wisconsin app, 620 WTMJ mobile app. That is where you'll find Wisconsin Badgers athletics in Milwaukee this season and hopefully for a long time moving forward. Looking forward to that. Big announcement this morning for us at Good Karma and a big announcement for us on Wilde and Tausch here as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you and I have been doing these shows this week with Jason on his summer sabbatical. He'll be back on Monday, just in time for you to start your summer sabbatical. And I could feel like you're getting a little sick of me, and I think our fans are probably getting a little sick of me being in the host chair here. So,
I just want to make sure I correct the record, because, Jesse, you're supposed to be my record corrector. That's part
sure.
of your
okay.
job
yeah.
as
uh-huh.
producer, but you're hosting today, and I'm not going to put this on Wooly. I think it's been 12 years since we were on WTMJ. 12, not 20. So Vinny, I'm not going to besmirch Vinny. I think it's only been 12 years. Feels like 22, but it's been 12.
It does feel like it's been 22. It's been a long time. I remember when I was a kid driving around on a Saturday afternoon with my dad, and we would be able to listen to the games on 6:30, and then suddenly one day it was gone. And we're like, where is it? And we had to struggle trying to find it. And it's nice to have it back home on 620 WTMJ here starting this fall. All right, our announcement. So you're sick of me being in the host chair here. Tomorrow, for the very...
Just for the record, Jesse, I haven't said I'm sick of you. You're implying that. YouTubers might be, and maybe some of our fans. I am not sick of you. You've done a nice job.
Ryan keeps hitting that ding button, so I'm starting to think he's a little sick of me being here.
Trying
as well.
To speak for the fans, as
yeah.
Tausch was saying.
Appreciate that, Wooly. Tomorrow, we have a special guest, Cousin Sub of the Day, hosting all 3 hours of Wilde and Tausch for the first time. And in conjunction with our brand new partnership with the Wisconsin Badgers and its new home, 620 WTMJ and 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, Matt LePay is in as our Cousin Sub of the Day tomorrow. The Badgers Radio Network booth for football games takes over all 3 hours of Wilde and Tausch tomorrow. Can't wait to have Dad in here hosting the show. A little father-son. It's like the Golics coming back to ESPN Radio in a couple of weeks. We're going to have me and my fake dad going to be in here running the show tomorrow. Tausch, can't
wait.
Are you hosting
with him? Are we doing a three-man booth, or what are we doing tomorrow?
I mean, I've been clamoring for a three-man booth with me, you, and LePay for a long time. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Big audition for Jesse.
That's going to be a big day for me. I better rest up. Well, I don't want a repeat of what happened with Homer last week, where there was a battle for power, or really a reluctance of power, of who was going to be driving the ship hosting the show. If you would like me to handle ins and outs for you guys tomorrow, like first take style, like I'll be Shea Cornett leading us in, and then you guys can debate and ensue another discussion, and I'll just kind of keep us on the
sure
rails.
Let's make sure we don't send that to Shea. I don't think Shea would love you, appreciate you comparing yourself to her. Just for the record.
Who in this world would appreciate me comparing myself to them?
I think a lot of people.
The list is
I think the list is pretty short
based on the feedback I receive on a regular basis. Regardless of what my role will be tomorrow, Matt LePay, Cousin Sub of the Day, all 3 hours tomorrow, 9 to noon on Wilde and Tausch for the very first time. He's been on the show many times, but this will be the first time that he is a full-on Cousin Sub of the Day. Hosting the show with Tausch. Can't wait to do it tomorrow. The Badgers Radio Network booth takeover of Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon tomorrow morning here on ESPN Wisconsin. Huge day, huge week for us here at Good Karma and at ESPN Wisconsin and 620 WTMJ. We'll get back to talking some Green Bay Packers. There's some front office conversation we're going to get into. And how timely. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, scheduled to appear coming up around 10 o'clock this morning. Homer at 10:35. The Wilde and Tausch Trivia Tournament of Champions coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Huge showdown. Mike the Wedding DJ and Chef Ed. Somebody will move on to the quarterfinals. Can't wait for that. All that still to come on today's edition. But before anything, Tausch, tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed, shopping for new windows and doors should never include haggling. Pella sticks to straightforward pricing, honest conversations, helping homeowners find the right fit for their home, and they never have to use high-pressure sales tactics. When you buy direct through Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, the same team that manufactures your windows and doors, they also sell them, install them, and service them. Real pricing, premium quality, no game. Schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Talking about a potential drastic change for the Green Bay Packers, this seems preposterous, but it piqued Tausch's interest yesterday on Wisconsin's Morning News. Man, a lot happened on Wisconsin's Morning News this week. We will talk about it coming up next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Jesse and Tausch today on Wilde and Tausch, including on Milwaukee's new home of Wisconsin Badgers football, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. That's not going to get old for a while. That's pretty great to be able to say that coming in here. So, Tausch, you broke that news on Wisconsin's Morning News on 620 WTMJ, where you can also listen to every Badgers football game this season. And then yesterday morning when you appeared on the show, you came into this Everlight Solar studio at ESPN Madison. You said, what's this Mike Florio thing? Have you seen this? I said, no, I haven't. So you sent it over. It's like 9.5 minutes from Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio kind of going on a bit of a tangent. I'll summarize it best I can, because if you're trying to cut like the audio, there's like you'd have to go like 4.5 minutes long listening to what he's saying, elaborating on everything. So Mike Florio points out how the Green Bay Packers are the only publicly owned team in the National Football League. We all know that. The revenue that all the other 31 teams can generate by selling minority shares of their team, unlike what the Packers can do, has been able to allow them to potentially get a theoretical competitive advantage by having more money available that they can allocate to various different resources. The Packers, Mike Florio asserts, when Ed Policy reaches his mandatory retirement age, whenever that may be, I don't know exactly how old he is, he says the Packers could be in the interest of both the team and the National Football League to get rid of their publicly owned nature and sell it off like the Seahawks kind of just did into a private manner so that the NFL can then hide its records so the Packers don't have to make that public for all of their investors, their shareholders, and then also the Packers can get more money to pick up on what that perceived competitive advantage is for all other 31 teams by having more money holstered to be able to spend on stadium upgrades and title town and events and all the stuff that would go into that. So that's, in summary, 9.5 minutes of what Mike Florio said at Pro Football Talk. When you heard this yesterday and you talked about it on Wisconsin's Morning News, what was so compelling and interesting to you?
Well, I think there's always kind of the worry from Packer fans that the team could leave. And it's not imminent. There was the naming rights and all of the other stuff. And we just keep seeing new stadiums being built and a lot of cash infusion being put in by wealthy owners and by the states and or cities, municipalities that are doing it. And it's just a constant, I got to keep up with the Joneses, literally and figuratively. And Florio, listen, Florio does some good stuff. I've had a lot of commentary on some of his commentary. I think he's intriguing. He does not like the Green Bay Packers. He's a Vikings fan. So always look at everything he does with a grain of salt. It's a slow time of the year. But his point, and this is where I found it interesting, because Ed Policy is brought up, and obviously concern level of these other teams being able to sell 10% of the franchise value. If it's $10 billion, what's 10% of $10 billion, Jesse?
That $1 million? $10
million?
No. What is it? I don't know.
Let's say you're raising $1 billion, or you're trying to raise $100 million to upgrade your stadium or to get more cash. So if you have a cash flow issue, which you're not, these other teams are able to do it. The Packers, for a long time, have been able to do the stock sale every 7 or 8 years, and other teams didn't like that. Now, their stock sale is a heck of a lot different because if you're selling a private equity piece, you have to pay dividends. There's a ROI expectation where Packer fans are, this is my duty. This is what I'm doing. I want to be a part of it. That has been a nice kind of a kitschy story for all of us. I don't know all of the legalities of going from a nonprofit or a organizational that is owned by the team to all of a sudden being able to sell. Florio's point was that there is some kind of an out that the Packers could utilize within their foundation to change the structure of how these things go. And if 31 other teams are utilizing it and doing it, the Packers have to look into it. And I'm looking at it and saying, well, right now Green Bay is sitting fine financially. We'll hear their report, I think, Monday, how they're doing. I don't know why Florio is putting it out, but there's always something. And there's always some way, shape, or form that this kind of manipulates. And I don't know if he talked to someone or if he just is wanting to stir the pot. Either way, it's always something to look at from a financial standpoint because the revenues are growing so fast, and other teams are having ways to grab more revenue than the Packers will. That's why it's so important for them to do the title town and to do all of the other things. And it's just another stark reminder of you have to continue to stay in front of what's going on, or these scenarios that Florio puts out, there might be some viability to it.
844-770-3776 is the Carbliss ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Liz is more. Ed Policy is 55 years old. The Packers' mandatory retirement age is 70, right, for the president? That's what Murphy had to step away and call it for his tenure was 70 years old. I'm pretty sure that's right. So we're looking at like 15 years before Ed Policy would be done, and then this, according to Mike Florio, could even go into effect. By the way, thank you to everyone who pointed out 10% of $10 billion is $1 billion. In retrospect, that was pretty easy math that I should have been able to do. So I'm an idiot. Thank you. Appreciate it. It's never going to happen, right? Like, this is speculation, and we're looking at, like, okay, this would benefit the league. This theoretically could benefit the Packers, but the entire appeal of the Green Bay Packers franchise is that it's publicly, it's owned by the fans. They're the smallest town in America that has a professional sports team, and it's worked for this long because of this set. Like, they're never going to deviate from what this setup is, right?
I would say you never should ever say never to anything when it comes to money and finances. There's always, people are always looking for ways. I would say there at this point, there is no way, but that doesn't mean in 20 years, there's not going to be reevaluating how things go. And we don't know what how the financials of the NFL are going to continue to go. There's a lot of issues. And I think when we had Aaron Popke join us, I don't know, that month and a half ago, discussing broadcasting and all of the others, there is a lot of things that the NFL always needs to keep top of mind. And I think the revenue of the media deals always is at the top of their list. The other stuff is usually secondary. But the health of their franchises and the sales, you just saw Seattle sold their franchise for $9 billion. The Green Bay Packers story is special. It is a huge part of the NFL, and I do believe that there will never be another story like it. And I think it's great for the league, and it's great for the league when the Packers are really good. And the only way to stay really good is to make sure you're keeping up and making sure financially you can compete. The Packers have done a great job of that, and that Mark Murphy, Bob Harlan, everybody deserves a ton of credit for that. But the fans deserve a ton of credit as well, because most fans aren't willing to invest in something where they know there is no ROI other than feels and vibes. And that's where the Packers are. And that's a great, powerful thing. But as far as what Florio's saying, he's stirring the pot to make it look as if the NFL may want the Packers to go in a different route because they can protect the financials. What we've seen in the past is that the Packers make big expenditures at the end of CBAs. Well, this CBA is running out in 3 or 4 years. I don't know what that next big expenditure is going to be, if it's building a new Hudson Center. There's a lot of things that they could do. But right now, everything is copacetic. But that doesn't mean it will be in 5 to 10 years. And that's, I think, it didn't get a bunch of traction because I think most people are looking at it like you. Well, that can't happen. That is never going to happen. And I agree. It's not going to happen anytime soon. But you always better stay on your toes when you're talking about finances and the way the NFL approaches it.
ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum scheduled to appear coming up at 9:45 this morning here on Wilde and Tausch. We'll ask him about this and a lot more Packers roster building questions. That's coming up. Last thing on this, Tausch, what would this mean? Hypothetical world for a moment. They do this. Florio's right, and this is how it plays out. Ed Policy in 2040, hangs it up as Packers president. They say, you know what, we're going to go to be a privately owned team after all. That's the end of this run. What would that mean for fans who are either shareholders right now or just who want to see the team succeed and cheer them on with their blood, sweat, and tears? Like, what would that mean for Packers fans everywhere if this change were to happen?
Yeah, I don't necessarily even know. I don't know all of the ins and outs of that. I know it would change and it would be a different vibe than what we have now. And I think right now, obviously, there's a board and there's people that make these big decisions. Every other team does it the other way, where they have one person making all of the decisions. Ed Policy obviously is critical to that, but Ed Policy answers to others. Owners don't. Owners answer to themselves. And if you get the wrong cat, things go south quickly. We've seen that in every sport professionally. It's not something that I think we need to spend a ton of time on, and I know we're not going to, but it's just always, I think there's always the little insecurities of Wisconsin sports fans when they get brought up. You want to make sure you are aware and understand so that it doesn't end up happening.
Again, ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum scheduled to appear coming up at 9:45. I want to get into these under 25 power rankings that ESPN.com had, because where the Packers were on this list was quite surprising. You may have heard some of our other shows talking about it yesterday. We'll get into that coming up next. But first, Tausch, it's a big day for the Badgers. It's a big day also then for UW Credit Union.
Indeed, and UW Credit Union, you know, they're headquartered in Madison, but there's branches all throughout Milwaukee, Obviously, WTMJ is now the new home for Milwaukee, in Milwaukee for Wisconsin football. It's been for volleyball. We're all excited about that. And for every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here forever. You're proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years. They're going to help you reach your financial goals. And you know what? I love we're keeping up. We have a great app. UW Credit Union's mobile app offers a simple way to check accounts, make transfers, and more. That is a smart play from the pocket. Join today at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
Normally, the Green Bay Packers rank at least in the middle in power rankings when comparing them to the other teams in the league. They were not ranked in the middle in this one. You'll find out. The under 25 power rankings. If you haven't seen this yet, it is surprising where the Packers check in these rankings at ESPN.com. We'll talk about it coming up next. It's Jesse and Tausch on Wilde and Tausch.
Will Tucker Kraft be the NFL's highest paid tight end?
There's some guys you just have to bite the bullet and pay them. Micah Parsons is one of them. Jordan Love's another one. Tucker Kraft's one of those guys.
Your home for green and gold coverage. 100.5 ESPN.
So we got this article from Aaron Schatz, ESPN.com.
Schatzy!
He's our guy. He likes diving into the analytics and providing these rankings, but really it's more of just a kind of a statement on where some of these teams rank relative to one another using advanced metrics over at ESPN.com. So the latest ranking, the under 25 rankings, NFL rosters based on the talent on each team under age 25. I saw this article yesterday morning. And I clicked on it because I'm like, okay, well, the Packers got to be near the top of this list. Like, I was wondering if they might be number one. We know they've been one of the youngest teams in the league each of the last couple of seasons. They've draft and develop is always the mantra. So they've got to be near the top of these rankings. So I click on it and I start scrolling down. It says, okay, New England Patriots are number one. Well, good for them. They were in the Super Bowl last year. They're young. They kind of looked like they didn't belong there when they got there, but that means they've got a big window of success still available for them. Number two, the Houston Texans. That makes sense. The Bears were number three. And I thought, oh, they got the Bears ranked ahead of the Packers. And then I kept scrolling. And I kept scrolling. And here comes the Vikings. And here come the Lions. And there's the Seahawks. No sign of the Packers. Scrolling, scrolling. Get to number 16, the Kansas City Chiefs, which I was shocked. I'm like, okay, we're still not to the Packers. Scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. All the way down here at number 30 out of 32 teams in the under 25 talent power rankings at ESPN.com, there lies the Green Bay Packers. Number 30, only the Broncos and the LA Rams, unsurprisingly, because they don't have any young players on their team. Blank them picks. Those are the two teams that are underneath the Green Bay Packers. By the way, the Rams and the Broncos, both teams that lost in the NFC Championship game last year, for what that's worth. I was shocked by this, but the more I thought about what it actually means, Tausch, I think it's a good thing that the Packers are this low on this ranking. What did you make of seeing the Packers at number 30 out of 32 in the under 25 talent rankings at ESPN.com?
So the first question I have is, who all is under 25?
Well, like,
who are Matthew Golden?
Yep.
Obviously is under 25. All right, give me a list of our top kids under 25.
Aaron Schatz outlined. So wide receiver Matthew Golden is the only notable player on offense who is under 25. Everybody else is 25 plus. That includes Jordan Morgan, Anthony Belton. Okay, so defensively qualifying for this, Edrin Cooper, Carrington Valentine, Javon Bullard. And then depending on what you expect from Brandon Cisse, the draft pick this year, he's 21. So those are your four notable defensive players under 25 on the Packers roster. Guys who graduated, according to Aaron Schatz, that became 25 years old this year, Tucker Kraft, Lucas Van Ness, and Evan Williams. So those are three notable players that we expect at least decent things, if not major things, from this season for the Packers. But then you look at the other core players, they're all around 25, maybe a year older than that. But a lot of these guys that have been in these rankings, which the Packers, they were 23rd on this list last year, they were higher than that the year before, they're down to 30 because, like you talked about earlier this week, that means they're developing these guys, they're getting older on this roster, and it's essentially the same group of guys that's continuing to come back now a couple of years in a row, developing together in pursuit of being a Super Bowl contender.
And I think you see with how Green Bay has approached it and signing some of their guys, obviously the some draft picks from the Jordan Love class and after it hasn't worked. But now you're starting to see guys get second deals, and that's typically where you need to live in your championship window. You can have young players come, chip in and be, big pieces, but your core players and your best players and your highest paid players are going to be the guys that will determine whether or not you win a championship or not. So you could look back at our 2010 team. Yeah, Brian Bulaga stepped in. Desmond Bishop stepped in. There were some young players, but the reason that team won a championship was Aaron Rodgers, Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, Charles Woodson. You can start looking at what was the common denominator. It's you have your best players playing their best football at the best time, at the most important time. That's what we've been lacking. And we've been young, then we've been where we've been too old, and it's the old porridge story. You got to get it right. It's got to be in the middle. And right now, yes, this list, when you first read it, you could say, boy, Goody's done a terrible job. Or da, da, da. You don't want to always be relying on first and second year players to play critical roles. You want them to play, and you want them to be good, and you want them to grow, and you want them to be really good players by the time and make it no doubters that, hey, if we want to, we will sign these guys. And there have been a list of guys now that they want to sign. And Tucker Kraft will be the next guy. And all of those guys, for the most part, are in that 25 to 28 years old. That's your sweet spot. Those are the elevator years for most players. And when you can have a majority of your guys in that era, you're going to have multiple bites at championship apples. That's where I think Green Bay's at. And you can look at it from 100 different perspectives, but I want guys year 4 to year 8. That's when they're going to be at their best if they can stay healthy. What year is Jordan Love? What year is Micah Parsons? What year is Tucker Kraft? What year is Christian Watson? What year is McKinney? Evan Williams is going to be 12 or 25. That's where you want to be. That's what you're hoping for. So, yeah, it's great to have young talent, but that typically means you're rebuilding or you missed. You've missed on a bunch of really good players. So I look at this in the opposite way I think maybe a lot of people do and say this isn't bad. This means we're finally getting that core of real. Now, would it be great if we had a couple of sixth and seventh round picks that were going into year two and they're like, oh, my God, these guys are so talented. We got to put them out. Yeah, that'd be fine. But for the guys that you are really counting on, this is the age group that you're really looking for. And it fleets. I mean, it goes quick. So you better have some guys on the other side of this. And that's where, I guess, if you wanted to be concerned about this list, that's where you'd be.
Tausch is going to tell us about Steinhoffels in a moment. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, scheduled to appear coming up next. We'll ask him about the Florio thing. We'll ask him about these rankings and just the general Packers approach to roster building. Are they legitimate Super Bowl contenders? He's a former GM in the league. He'll be able to tell us all about that. Mike Tannenbaum scheduled to appear coming up next. But first, Tausch, tell us about Steinhoffels.
If you've been thinking about upgrading your mattress, now is the time to do it at Steinhoffels. Right now, get a free foundation with any qualifying Beautyrest mattress purchase. Queen Beautyrest, they start at $14.99. Or you can treat yourself to the ultimate sleep experience with a Beautyrest Black King adjustable base set. You can save $500 instantly. Plus, with 60-month financing, better sleep is more affordable than ever. Don't overpay for a great night's sleep. Shop your nearest Steinhoffels showroom or online at steinhoffels.com. And relax, it's Steinhoffels.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Is this the year the Brewers make a push at the trade deadline?
You open a window so you can climb through it. You don't open a window so you can sit on the ledge and wonder what's going to happen if you jump.
Madison's home of the Brewers, 100.5 ESPN.
He was the general manager of the New York Jets when they acquired Brett Favre from the Green Bay Packers. ESPN NFL front office insider and apparently the star of dinner parties. He is Mike Tannenbaum, and he joins us on Wilde and Tausch. Jesse and Tausch today. Jason has the day off. Mike, Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike joins us every week on this show, and we have heard so much about your performance at his annual dinner party for the ESPN Radio Unsportsmanlike crew. What do you have to say about all this?
Well, I would just say that you know, when you go out to dinner with the same people over and over again, you know, you got to just ask thought-provoking, differentiated questions, and this way people just don't, you know, hey, how are you? How was your day? Blah, blah, blah. So you try to get, you know, a little bit more interesting and take people a little bit out of their comfort zone.
Mike, has there been a time that you asked a question at one of those that really, like, struck a nerve with somebody? Because it does create great conversation, but it also, you don't know which way you go, especially if it's somebody you don't know that well.
Yeah, no, that's what makes it so fun and interesting. You know, this all started with behavioral-based interviewing at the Combine. For years and years and years, you'd ask players, hey, like, why'd you fail this drug test, or what happened? Why'd you get arrested? Whatever, may, you know, bad news they had. They always gave, like, the same canned answer about, like, I was young, it'll never happen again, which, by the way, could be true. And, you know, we got into much more interesting questions, like, give us an example of you being a good teammate, or what's something you've worked hard at in your playing career that you were unable to accomplish? You know, things that show selflessness or some awareness of how they need to get better.
So, Mike, was there ever a time that you did one of those and you were really high on the player, but the way they answered or the way you kind of analyzed it, that you took them off your board?
100% before they left the room. A couple times with quarterbacks, we would show their interceptions, and basically we would ask them to take us through the play, like what happened, and if the quarterback would blame others, like, oh, that was a really bad play call, or the receiver ran the wrong route, invariably, like, we would either take them off our board or knock them down. And the reason for it, guys, is if you're going to pay somebody millions and millions of dollars to be, as Coach Parcells would say, your battlefield commander, you want somebody that's always taking the blame and always giving the credit. So it was a big indice of a quarterback's ability to be selfless when they would describe bad plays to us.
All right, Mike, last one on this, because I, you know, it's been 20-some-odd years since I took the Wonderlic and did the New York Giants test was ridiculous. Like, it was 300 questions. I don't know if you guys would get all of that if you weren't with the Giants, how that all worked. But what is the correct answer if you're a dog or a cat guy? I never understood that.
Yeah, you know, Mark, I'm not sure, but maybe the Giants had, you know, some, you know, issues with how you played, so maybe it was, you know, on both sides.
I think you're probably right on all of those. That is a fair point. Mike, you have been a huge supporter of Jordan Love and his development. And when you joined us last year, and again, thank you for joining us this year, you kind of said that, this was, I guess, 2 years ago, hey, he should be getting paid at the top of the market. Well, the Packers paid him close to that. Obviously, the market is resetting every time we go through. Has he kind of lived up to your expectations as far as what you've seen since he signed that deal?
You know, for the most part, look, it's not perfect. I get that. And certainly the contract's going to put a bullseye on him, understandably. But I just think he's ultra talented. And I'm just, outside of maybe a Justin Herbert, if you think about how you'd want a quarterback to look and be built and have his ability and talent in 2026, I just don't know there's many people on the planet that have the skills that he does. And you know, you could just tell the way he plays. It's really important to him. Look, is some of the decision-making ideal? No, but, you know, most quarterbacks are going to make mistakes. But I'm just, I think if I'm Green Bay, I'm really happy he's our quarterback.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, joining us on Wilde and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. All right, so a lot has been made, Mike, of the Jeremy Fowler survey comparing Jordan Love and that he's not in the top 10 rankings of NFL quarterbacks entering this 2026 season. But Caleb Williams did make the cut into the top 10. When you compare how the Bears are structured right now and the Packers, because obviously the rivalry reached a new level last year with those showdowns in December and January, and of course the one in the playoffs top of mind, how do you compare how the Bears are built right now to how the Packers are built right now, especially at the quarterback position?
Yeah, look, I think Caleb Williams has tons of ability, and we saw that last year with some of the incredible splash plays that, unfortunately, Green Bay doesn't want to remember. But I was concerned by his completion percentage. And, look, I think it'll get better and certainly has the ability to, but you've got to be able to complete over 60% of your passes to be an elite quarterback. And I think year two in Ben Johnson's system will help. I think Colson Loveland, you know, is going to be a star at the tight end position. But I'm encouraged by Caleb Williams, but we got to see more.
So, Mike, this is something from a Packer fan standpoint, obviously as a player, the Bears rivalry was kind of, it was a one-sided affair for a long time. And I'm sure you've been on one side of that or the other in your long career as an executive. But how would you, if you're talking, you're sitting down talking to Matt LaFleur and you're the GM or you're running the program, how would you advise him to handle, because the Ben Johnson part of it, it does feel like there is an intensity deficit that was the case, and then obviously you lose a playoff game, that changes, but with the handshake and with all the stuff that goes on there, the Bears very upfront saying, we hate the Packers, the owners, the GM, the coach. Do you, if you're leading the Packers, do you lean into that, or do you just say, we're going to keep doing what we're doing, we have bigger fish to fry, even with that tough loss and this long offseason that Packer fans are dealing with in dealing with Bear fans?
Yeah, guys, for me, it's definitely more of the latter. Like, we're a really good organization. We've been really competitive for a long time. You know, we're not perfect, but we make a lot more good decisions than bad decisions. And, yeah, we lost a tough one last year, but we know who we are, and it's not about handshakes or anything like that. It's about building a good team. And, guys, I'll tell you what, there's a really good expression that applies, which is in an off season, an NFL team is going to tell you what they think about themselves in terms of how the moves they made. And I agreed with what they did, by the way, for Micah Parsons. But when you make a move like that, they're also telling you, like, they feel like they were close. So I don't think it's about a handshake. I think this is about a team that's really well run, made a lot of really good decisions over a long period of time, and went out and got a generational superstar talent that, you know, unfortunately got hurt. But if you were starting an NFL team today and you said, who are the five best non-quarterbacks when healthy, I'm hard-pressed to think there's five players in the sport you would start a team with, you know, before you got to Micah Parsons.
Like to hear that. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider. Mike, how close is Brian Gutekunst to being the best general manager in the NFL?
Oh, boy, he's rock solid. I think he does a really, really good job. And I think the only way you can have sustained success in the system is you got to stack, you know, good drafts one on top of the other. They don't have to be perfect, but you really need to get three, four, like, significant contributing players each and every draft. That allows you to have, you know, for the most part, like, cost certainty on a good part of your roster, which allows you to be opportunistic like a Micah Parsons. So the fact that they were in that position really tells you, you know, the job that Brian Gutekunst has done, because it allowed him to, quote unquote, go take a shot.
Mike, the last one for me. How do you evaluate you draft a kid? And I'm going to see Marshawn Lloyd, who is a talented running back. He has not been able to stay healthy. He's only played one game, but he's explosive. He brings the difference if he can stay healthy. When do you as an executive look at it and say, I can't count on him anymore? Is it after year two, year three, when you see that talent, but you have to keep those roster spots? How would you approach a player that's going into his third year who has not been able to stay healthy but has immense talent, you know, can help your football team?
Yeah, you know, generally speaking, 3 years is a reasonable amount of time. You know, we talked a little bit about J.J. McCarthy today on ESPN, and, you know, J.J. McCarthy's 23 and he's playing 10 games. You know, the only grade you give a Marshawn Lloyd or a J.J. McCarthy is a grade of incomplete. So you try to be patient. You try to help them in the off season, get in great shape, be as proactive as you can, and then you make the best decision possible. You know, with the expanded practice squads now, you know, it's not ideal, but you could send somebody down to the practice squad. Obviously, you run the risk of losing that player, but he is talented. He is explosive. And you try, you know, the worst thing, you know, the worst thing is not for Marshawn Lloyd to fail. It would be for him to be successful someplace else.
No doubt. All right, Mike, I lied. Last one. What is the best question someone asked you that got the best dinner conversation that you are now using on yours when you go out to dinner?
Well, this is somewhat Green Bay specific, so I'm happy to share this.
Oh, good.
Yeah. What is the best compliment you've ever received? And so for me, growing up in the industry, my idol was Ron Wolf, somebody that I just looked up to immensely. And, you know, fortunately, my first year as a GM, we went to the playoffs. Never forget, I was driving home, and I got a call from Ron Wolf, who said, "You did a heck of a job. To make the playoffs in the first year as a GM is incredibly hard. Nobody knows how hard these jobs are except for the people that have done it, and you've earned the respect of a lot of people, you know, your peers, including me, and I just want you to know that." And that is by far the best compliment I've ever received.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Tausch, you got to start thinking about what's the best compliment you've ever received. I'm going to ask you that in the next segment.
Wait, when I hear one, I'll make sure to let you guys know.
Mike, I have two more real quick football questions for you. First, looking at the NFC North, Packers, Bears, Vikings, Lions, everybody finished over 500 last year. In a lot of cases, I think some of these teams got better going into this year. How do you rank those four teams going into 2026?
Yeah, not just because I'm on with you guys. I got to go with Green Bay. Just, you know, if for these conversations, you have to assume if everyone's healthy, everyone played their best game, I put Jordan Love and Micah Parsons ahead of everybody else. I think Detroit's another team that's really hard to evaluate because, for whatever reason, guys, I feel like every year their defense gets decimated. If they could stay healthy on the back end, I think their A game is really good. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is up there in the Micah Parsons world of just great, you know, a talent that can change the game all by himself. I think Chicago is going to be competitive. I don't know, because of their pass rush, that I put them in the same conversation as Green Bay and Detroit.
I like to hear that. All right, and then last one, Mike. Tausch and I were talking about this article over at ESPN.com this morning. The Packers ranked 30th out of 32 teams in the under-25 talent rankings. Only the Rams and the Broncos, who were both in conference championship games last year, are ranked lower than the Packers on this list. Is that a good thing, a bad thing, or is it just kind of a thing?
Yeah, I think it's a little arbitrary because, again, like, if you look at – it starts with the quarterback, and, if you could take any quarterback in the league right now, how many would you take to start a team now if this was year one before Jordan Love? So, look, could Matt Stafford have a better year than Jordan? Of course he can. But my point is, like, given his age, given his production, given his ability, given his character, I just don't know how many guys I'm taking before I'm taking Jordan Love. And that includes guys like Lamar Jackson, missed four games last year, Patrick Mahomes with the ACL, Joe Burrow, who's had durability issues. So Jordan Love gets a lot of the benefit of the doubt just given his ability and his age.
I'm not sure anyone's been a stronger national advocate for Jordan Love, and I'm not sure anyone's a better dinner party invite than Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider. Mike, thanks so much for the time you're sharing with us, with Tausch and I here today. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, joining us on Wilde and Tausch. Wow.
What is the best compliment you got, Jesse? What has been the best
compliment? Well, I mean, number one, Becca said, "You don't look that bad in that swimsuit." And I thought that was pretty nice of her when she said that. It was one of the best.
Nice.
And then also, when I've heard feedback on some of my, like, play-by-play from Tomorrow's Cousins Sub of the Day, Matt LePay, Brian Anderson, Jeff Lowe, when they all say, like, "Wow, you're really good. Like, you've got really talented skills." I'm like, that gave me some butterflies the first couple of times I heard that. So that's always nice to hear. So that's what came to mind first. When Mike brought that up. So we'll talk more about what Mike had to say, not just about compliments, but also about Jordan Love and the Packers. He's very high on the Green Bay Packers. I like hearing that. We'll get into that to kick off the 10 o'clock hour coming up. Tausch, first, you want to tell us about Jones Dairy Farm.
I do indeed. It is a family-owned and operated business for seven generations right in Fort Atkinson all the way back to 1889. And they have great bacon. They have great sausage. I love the fact it's all from the original family recipe. They have been putting clean food together for a long time, not the fillers and the nitrites, the gluten, all of that, all natural, right along with Jones Dairy. Find all of their products in grocery stores across Wisconsin. Check the website's product finder at jonesdairyfarm.com.
10 o'clock hour, Wildy and Tausch kicks off in 2 minutes. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.